Good morning. A warm and humid welcome to all as we gather together to praise and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please see your bulletin for all the announcements, and I'll just highlight a few of them. Please see the note of appreciation from Charlene Sayers. Mark your calendars for the church picnic on Saturday, July 13th. Be sure to sign up at the welcome desk. Soccer camp is coming soon, and the camp will be at Quinton School. Please see the registration at the welcome desk. And we are looking for a few people to help in the nursery. If you are interested, please see Jen Finney or call the church. And now, Brooke has a Bible school recap.
There's nothing quick about the recap. Ironically, VBS brought back the old song, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Woo! Yeah, that's what we needed. Pastor Fletcher's message was right on point last week, and to know that Jesus was praying for me and praying for all my workers and for all those children last week was just the message that we needed to get started. I have many God sightings, and I wish I could share them all, but I'm going to try to go through these as fast as I can. We had over 70 volunteers for VBS from the ages of 12 to over 80 this week. I would love to acknowledge every single person individually for their contribution this week, but I think Pastor Fletcher has a message he'd like to share. So thank you all of you who stepped up and filled open positions in the departments. Special thanks to Pam Sayers for being my co-director and helping get this year's VBS going and to completion. Thank you to all the department heads and helpers. Thank you crew leaders and helpers. Thank you registration people, sheepdogs. Thank you to all of you who gave money, supplies, provided dinners, prayers, decorated, cleaned up. It's every person that participated helps make this ministry possible and successful. So thank you to all. Crew leaders, if you haven't seen me about who didn't get the Gospel of John, if you could, after the service, I'd like to mail out to the kids who didn't get one, the Gospel of John. Second God sighting, our attendance, we had 143 kids registered over the week. Our largest night was Tuesday with 113, so that averaged about 105 kids every night. I just have to share a little bit, because if you're not here and don't see it, you don't understand what some of the things we go to. So this week we once again encountered stories of heartache that affirms that the hope, love, and power of Jesus is needed and shared with the kids in our area. One little girl's mom had been shot in the eye and lived miraculously. This was the second time she'd been shot. The child had to be removed to a father in another state because her environment was not safe. When they asked about fears, many of the kids said gunshots. One kid said crackheads. It just breaks your heart to think that this is what these little children are going through. However, Claudia, who you all know is responsible for bringing many of those kids, sent me an email, and I just have to read it to you. After Tuesday night, she writes to me, "Our group from Westside Court's apartment did well on the way home, discussing what they had learned about the peace and power of Jesus. As we pulled into Westside, we were met with an angry crowd, police cars flashing lights and sirens. The police were breaking up a nasty fight. We pulled past the crowd, and a couple of the girls wanted to pray with me. I wish I had recorded their prayers. They were so precious and sincere, asking God for his peace and to stop the violence. Thank God all got home safely and with the testimony of the grace of God, despite the trouble." If any of you question why we do VBS, there it is. Last Sunday, I reported that we'd be supporting Word of Life Belize for dorms and supplies there. However, Mimi spoke to them, and they said, "We'd rather you support children who cannot come with scholarships." I am very pleased to report to you we brought in $4,136 to support scholarships to children in Belize. Now, in U.S. dollars, it only costs $100 for a child to go 1 week to Bible camp. So not only did we touch 143 children with our VBS here, we are going to send 41 children for 1 week to Word of Life camp in Belize. So, yay God. The God sightings keep coming. We gave out 20 Bibles to elementary school kids. We gave out 12 Bible storybooks and music CDs to the preschool. One of the little boys asked Tyler during the week, is there any way your church would lend me one of your Bibles out of the pew? I just want to take it home to read it. That little boy went home with a Bible Thursday night, and it was his very own. Sorry. This little guy also, when he found out it cost $100 to send a kid to camp in Belize, saved enough money, and each night he brought enough money so he could say he sent one kid to camp. Another little guy expressed to Linda that if he had a Bible, he would read it every day. And the next night, that little boy accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He went home with the Bible, and he was sick the last day, and his grandma took it home to him, and he was like, thank you, Grandma, for this Bible, and immediately opened it up and read it. I've saved the best for last. We had 8 children that we know of accept Jesus as their Savior. And we had many others who were asking many questions that I think they're only a breath away from asking Jesus as their Savior. So we touched many lives. Is VBS and all that leads up to exhausting and hard? Yes. Yes, it is. But the rewards are eternal. They're priceless. Thank you once again for investing in this ministry.
Let's open our worship time in prayer. Father, it is by grace that we are saved through faith. It is nothing of ourselves that we cannot boast. But Lord, we can boast in you. We can boast in the work that you have done in our church. Most importantly, what have you done in our world? And what have you done for all the creation that we, Lord, can be renewed in you through the Son, through your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death and burial. Thank you, Lord, today that we can come today and we can praise and worship your name together as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, church family. Let's join our voices together as we worship our God who is so good, so loving, and so gracious. Please stand.
Strong. King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done.
Goodness of God.
Oh, my love. of the goodness of God.
Beautiful singing. Please be seated.
Let's pray. Lord, we gather before you today as people who are here to worship your name. Lord, as we just sang, all of our lives, you've been faithful. You've been so, so good. Lord, when I think about the blessings that you've poured out on me, and as every person here thinks about the blessings you've poured out on them, Lord, there's so many great things that you have done in each one of our lives. Your faithfulness, your goodness, and your compassion and love for each one of us knows no bounds. And Lord, it's in light of that that we gather before you this morning to worship, Lord, because of all that you've done for us, because of how great you are, and yet how loving and compassionate you are and gracious to each one of us. Lord, that's why we're here this morning, to lift your name, to make your name great, to worship you this morning. Lord, I pray that that's what we would do, Lord, that we would put you first in our own minds and our own hearts. And Lord, we praise you for this past week at VBS, Lord, just the fantastic time that we had, Lord, with all the kids who came in, Lord, just the chance that we had to have an impact on each one of them. Lord, I know that we had so many connections with them, so many different opportunities to talk with them about things going on in their lives. And then, Lord, we praise you for those that place their faith in you for the very first time this week. Lord, we do just praise you for that. We praise you just for how you worked this week, Lord, and how you worked through each person who was involved. Lord, I thank you for all of the workers. I thank you for Brooke heading things up with Pam helping her, and just all the workers all the way down, the crew leaders, the station leaders, just every single person. I thank you for all of their willingness to be involved, but more importantly, Lord, all of their willingness to follow after you. And Lord, we praise you for how you worked through all the different things that were happening this week. Lord, I do just praise you for all of these children. Lord, I pray for them. I pray for the kids who are able to come out this week. I pray for their families. I pray that their families would be interested in hearing more about you, that they would be interested in hearing more about you, Lord, that it wouldn't just stop with 1 week, Lord, but these children would continue to grow, that we'd be able to reach families through that. And Lord, we pray that we would just be able to continue to be a light into our community, a light into Salem County for you. Lord, we do also bring forward these other requests before you this morning. We pray for Bill Fox as he's recovering from the surgery. Lord, we praise you that things went well. We do just pray as he recovers from that. We pray for Arlene as she's beginning her radiation treatments. We just pray that you would just help her through all of that. We pray for Arlene's cousin's family, Lord, for Brenda's family as they mourn her passing, Lord. We do just pray for your grace and compassion in that situation, Lord. We pray that you would just surround the family with your love at this time. Lord, we do pray for a grandson of Kim named Leland, Lord. We pray that you would just provide him with encouragement and strength in you, Lord, that you would just surround him with your great love and compassion. And Lord, we do pray for Susan Sayers this morning, Lord, as she's dealing with Lyme's again, Lord, and she's anemic. She's got some different things happening, Lord. We do just pray that the medication she's on would work, Lord, that you would see improvement. Lord, we know that you are the one who brings healing, and I just pray that you would bring healing in her life. Lord, we do pray for Mike and Magda McGowan down in Florida, Lord, and their three-year-old son, Max, and they're getting ready for twins coming up in just a few weeks now. Lord, would you just pray for that family, Lord, as you would just surround them with your love and support during this time. You just be with Magdy, keep her safe and healthy, keep the twins safe and healthy as well. And Lord, we do just pray just for everything that's happening down there. Lord, we do also pray for Bev McGowan's mom, Lord, by the name of Kay, Lord, who fell this past week and she broke her shoulder. Lord, we do just pray for her that she would have healing, Lord, that the doctors would be able to take care of her, Lord, that they would know exactly what to do, that she would be able to get into the right rehab facility, and Lord, I do just pray for healing for her. And Lord, as we continue to worship this morning, Lord, I do pray for Pastor Fletcher this morning. He's going to have this, an opportunity to bring forth your word, Lord. We do just pray that you would be with him, surround him with your spirit, Lord. Help it to just be strengthening and encouraging in his life, Lord, and just put a blessing on his words as he shares it with us this morning. And Lord, as we continue our time of worship, as we continue our time of singing, Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds would be directed towards you, Lord, that we would block out everything else that's happening in our lives and we would be focused on you. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
As we continue to worship in song, if there are any children in first through third grade, we do have children's church, and that is in the, there'll be a teacher in the back there to lead any children if they would like to go to children's church at that time. Any kid in fourth grade or up, they get to stay here and worship with us. So let's please stand as we sing together. Please be seated.
Today's scripture reading will be from Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. It's Matthew 17, 1 through 8. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus.
You know, we had an exciting week this past week with VBS, but I don't want that excitement to take away from the excitement that we have this morning to have Pastor Fletcher with us again this morning. He was here last week, and he shared about Jesus praying for us. I really appreciated that message, and we look forward to hearing what he has to say today.
Thank you, Pastor Jay, for allowing me to be here today, and also for the deacons inviting me to come back. It always is a treat for Sue and I to be back at Quinton Baptist Church. Vacation Bible School is a great time. It was very exciting to hear what happened. I'm going to make a pretty educated guess that a lot of the people in this room first trusted in Christ when you were a youngster, high school, elementary school, even a preschooler. I'm not going to ask for people to raise their hands, but I'm among that group. And these kids, we might think, well, they're children, what do they know? Didn't Jesus say, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven"? And so we're thankful for these 8 and maybe more who asked Christ to come into their lives. The first passage in the Bible I'd ask you to turn to is Romans chapter 5. It's going to take us a while before we get there. And I'll just be reading some without asking you to turn to a number of these kind of narrative passages and finally getting to kind of the point of the message. And that's when we get to Romans 5. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. We thank you for taking care of us the way you do. As the old song says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. He gave his life. What else could he give? So that we might live everlastingly, we pray that as we look into a number of passages in Scripture, that we might be encouraged that where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And we thank you for being graceful, gracious and merciful to us. May we never forget it. We pray it all in Jesus' name with thanks. Amen. Well, there's just some names that kind of go together. And when you hear the one, the other one comes right up, popping behind it. For instance, if I were to say to you, Ozzy and Harriet. Okay, yeah, you see, you know that. Or if I might say to you, Lucy and Desi. Or if you're sticking with the I Love Lucy show, then it would be Lucy and Ricky. Or if I were to say, Penn and Teller, yeah, you got it. Siegfried and Roy. Sonny and, but you know all this stuff. Samson and, they kind of go together, don't they? Samson and Delilah. But it's really a tragic story. Samson who had many big victories in the name of the Lord God over the Philistines, had a pretty big tumble and fall with this Delilah, whose name is intertwined with Samson down through the millennia, even to us. You know, Samson was, he was relieved of his power. He went into prison. His eyes were gouged out. He was made fun of, mocked, laughed at. And finally, one day, they thought, oh, this may have a big celebration day. And so for there, I guess, 4th of July, so to speak, they brought him out to the Temple of Dagon. And Samson prayed. And he asked God for one more dose of his grace. And he put his hands on those pillars at the Temple of Dagon, and he brought the whole building down. Of course, he ended his life there too. And many who were sitting on the roof perished as well. But Samson, by the grace of God, even for the times he fumbled the ball, was a beneficiary of the grace of God at the end. We want to look at Peter in the New Testament. Did he have a lot of big hits for God? He sure did. We know more about Peter than any other of the original 12 apostles. Of course, we know a bit more about Paul, but he came, as he says, one born out of due time. He came in a little late, replacing Judas. But as far as those original 12 that Jesus selected in Luke 6, we know more about Peter than any of the others. Because we know a lot more about him, we're aware of more of his flaws and foibles. We know about a lot of his mess-ups. Hey, have you ever heard of Reggie Jackson? Well, some of you have. Well, Reggie Jackson was quite a hitter with the Oakland A's and with the New York Yankees. Reggie Jackson has the all-time record in, you want to guess, strikeouts. Nobody in Major League history has struck out more times than Reggie Jackson. He has struck out 2,597 times. That's a lot of whiffs. But he also hit, during the regular season, 563 home runs. And he hit 10 additional home runs in the World Series. In fact, in one of those World Series games against the Los Angeles Dodgers, he hit 3 in one game and has forever then become known as Mr. October. Now, Reggie Jackson is in the Hall of Fame, but he is not in the Hall of Fame for 2,597 strikeouts. Not his misses. But he's in the Hall of Fame for his successes, for his homers. Peter is an outstanding apostle, and we look up to him and we're thankful for all that he has accomplished and what God did through him. But the most important thing is to remember that he was able to do the things that he did because God was gracious to Peter, who was a sinner, just like you, just like all of us. So that God in his wonderful grace uses our mistakes, our failures, our falls, our stumbles, our embarrassments, to use all of us. Don't try to kid yourself or me and say, well, I never make any mistakes. I never mess up. Paul would pray, he says in 2 Corinthians, that he asked God 3 different times that he would take this, what he calls a thorn in the flesh, away from him. And God's answer to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you. And so Paul says, if that's the case, and it is, then I will boast in my weakness, for when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. And what was the petroleum that kept Paul going? God's grace. And what got Peter out of some of these mess-ups, some of these uh-ohs? God's grace. So we want to look at it in kind of two parts. First, some of the times when Peter just fumbled the ball. He coughed it up. He made an embarrassment of himself. And see how that happened in his life. But then we don't want to keep it there. We want to move on to how God was gracious to him, just like he's been gracious to the bunch of people sitting here. Well, first of all, let's think about some of his embarrassing moments, his failures. I had a secretary when we were in North Jersey. I was pastor of a church there for 11 years. And the secretary's name was Marge. She was good. I mean, we like Marge. In fact, we still keep up with she and her husband. But if ever, you know, there was something that I had to say, you know what, not this way, or point out a couple of misspellings or whatever, you know, so she would go, oops. She didn't seem to think, oh, me. But she went, oops, and she giggled. But she got it corrected. There's going to be a number of oops for Peter. First one I'm going to read is from Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew 16:16, it says at verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This was after Jesus said, what are people saying about me? Who do they say I am? Then he narrows it down in the funnel and says, and who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Home run. Good hit. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, which is what he just said, the rock was that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, I will build my church. But then in verse 20, Jesus warns his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside. Can you imagine this? This is like somebody saying to somebody else, come over here into my office, I need to talk to you. Peter took him aside to rebuke him. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men. Here was Peter. Oops. He had just been on the top of Mount Everest and said what God had led him to say. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And no sooner had he finished saying that, Jesus teaches a little bit more, and Peter is now down at the lowest ebbs on earth by the Dead Sea, spiritually speaking. My Father has revealed this to you. But then, Peter, you're thinking like a guy. You're thinking like someone in the flesh. You're abiding by the kinds of things that Satan would like to procure. Keep me from going to the cross. Oops. Matthew 17, the very next chapter, and this is where David read earlier. Verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, tabernacles, booths, shrines, memorials, something like that. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. How about, Jesus, how about we, let's make three memorial things here. Booths. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. Whoops. Because God is going to point out to Peter through that bright cloud, when they open their eyes again, God is going to, in essence, say to him, "Peter, don't you ever presume to put any other prophet on the same level with my son." Elijah, great prophet. Oh my. Mount Carmel, how's it get any better than that? Moses, the lawgiver, wonderful prophet. But Peter, "This is my son." And don't you ever think for one moment that these other prophets are on the same level with my son. Listen to him. Oops. John 13, verse 6. Then Jesus poured water into a basin. You know, they're getting ready for the Last Supper. And if you could turn to it if you want, but I'm going to read it quickly. He poured water into this basin to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, basically Peter says to him, I understand all that I need to understand. "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Whoops. You'll never. Then Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter, a bit impetuous, was he not? "You're never going to wash my feet." See, that's what the servant does to the honored guest. "You're never going to wash my feet." Whoops. Yeah, he is. Have you ever said something you no sooner said it and you knew you shouldn't have said it? Man, this happened to me. You know, Sue's from a pretty large family, a family of 10 kids. And for my mother-in-law's 85th birthday, we all met up in North Jersey at a restaurant. We had our own little room. It's a big, long table. Almost all the siblings were there and their spouses. Mom was there. And it was, it was really a nice time. Now, one of my sister-in-laws, Mary Ann, who lives in Michigan, was not able to be there, but she was dating a guy for quite a while now, and they were planning to get married the very next month. All of the siblings knew this, but Mom didn't. Mary Ann wanted to tell Mom personally. And so there I am, and I blurt out, loud enough for half the table to hear, "Hey, what do you think about Mary Ann getting married next month?" And everything became deadly silent. People were looking down at their plates and fumbling with their food. And I knew I had gotten myself involved in an oops statement. I wanted to crawl under the table, but I was too big to do that. And I wished I could have just said, "Scotty, beam me up, get me out of here." But I had said something that was really not appropriate. Peter did that at the Mount of Transfiguration. "We'll make three booths. We'll make kind of three shrines, three memorials." No, no, no. "This is my son. You pay attention to what he has to say." Matthew 26, At verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," this is the same trio, Peter, James, and John, "he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, 'So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' Again, for a second time, he went away and prayed, 'My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.' And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, 'Sleep and take your rest. Later on,' I presume they had dozed off again, 'see, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" Whoops. Three times. "Asleep at the switch." They're supposed to be watching. Jesus, of course, knew that the soldiers and Judas would be coming, but they weren't watching, they weren't praying. They were snoozing. The three major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, estimate that 85% of all new TV programs fail. One of the executives of the network said, quote, "To find a hit, you have to be willing to fund failures." Well, Peter's going to have a lot of big hits, but right now God is funding the failures. And he's moving him along, growing him up, until he's ready to do what God has called him to do. It's a critical moment. You couldn't watch. Hey, did you ever feel like that? "I thought I should do this, but I just decided to do something else. I didn't feel like it. I was too busy. I had a lot of other things on my mind." Couldn't you just watch and pray for 1 hour? Chuck Swindoll, in his book Starting Over, writes, "Great accomplishments are often attempted, but only occasionally reached. What is interesting and encouraging is that those who reach them are usually those who missed many times before. Failures, you see, are only temporary tests to prepare us for permanent triumphs." I don't know if Peter might be thinking, as time is going on, how many setbacks do I have to have before I get this right? John chapter 18, verse 10. Here's another oopsie. At verse 10 of John 18, it says, "Then Peter," we're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, he was asleep not that many minutes before. "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." Now, just as a sidebar, I don't recommend this as a good evangelistic tool. "So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?'" I don't know. It could be that Peter was thinking, yeah, it was just a little bit earlier when Jesus had told him, when they were in the upper room, "Before the sun rises, you're going to deny me 3 different times. When you hear the rooster crow, you will have denied me 3 different times. And Peter might have pulled out that sword and said, "No, I got this. I'm gonna be brave. And he cuts off this guy's ear. You know, in another account of this in the Gospels, Jesus does heal the man's ear. Peter, yes, after this, will wind up denying Jesus three times. He gave in, for crying out loud, he gave in to a little maid servant girl and said, I don't know the guy. Getting pretty overwhelmed with these oops moments. August 1901, after an unsuccessful attempt with gliders in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, Wilbur Wright wrote, when we left Kitty Hawk at the end of 1901, we doubted that we would ever resume our experiment. On the train ride back from North Carolina to Dayton, Ohio, Wilbur Wright wrote, quote, if man ever does fly, it will not be within our lifetime, not within 1,000 years. Have you ever flown? We're not 1,000 years out from 1903 when they were successful. But the man was discouraged. You think Peter might be a little discouraged at this point? Reprimanded, often in front of the other apostles? What I want to get to is that God, whom Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, because of his great mercy and grace, can take all of our stumbling and be gracious unto us and get us back up to keep going forward. The grace of God is greater than my failures. Romans chapter 5. It's the first passage I mentioned we would look at. Romans 5. At verse 20, it says, the law was added so that the trespass might increase. Still in verse 20, Romans 5, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now, I like that, but I actually like it a little better in the King James. Because it says there, so, but where sin abounded, grace did all the more abound. You see, it is not possible to be so sinful that God's grace can't reach you and get it taken care of. I remember speaking to a guy at the Macaulay Water Street Mission in Lower Manhattan. I remember his name to this day, and it has to be 50 to 60 years ago. His name was Harry Hill. And he came and he talked to me after the message, and he said, I like what you're saying, but I've sinned too much. I'm just too far gone. And I would go over with him, Harry. No, even use Romans 5. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Interesting, where Paul uses the word, it much more abounded. I'm going to say this, don't laugh, because if you know Greek, you know I'm saying it wrong. Huper perisousen. It basically means where there was sin abounding, then there was hyper grace abounding. Just like we would use somebody's hyper. John Bunyan would write a book, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. Hey, this whole thing, this Christian life that we have, this salvation, it all starts right there. It starts with grace. Grace has given you something that you really don't deserve. I did this a couple times with my kids, but not too many times. They'd done something wrong and a punishment was sure to come. Maybe once or twice with each of them. pulled out a dime or a quarter was ever in my pocket and said, you know what you've done, you should get a punishment. But instead, I'm going to give you the quarter. And then just add, see, that's what God did for us. We deserve to be punished. And by his grace, he gave us everlasting life. And how he accomplished that was he didn't give me a quarter. He gave me forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb. And that's why Jesus went to the cross, in order that he could be gracious to us. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the gospel. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. So we want to talk a little bit about the grace that God showered upon this Simon, Cephas, Peter. Let's go back to Luke 22. We were there last week. We won't stay there very long this morning. But it was at Luke 22, verse 31. Here comes a container of grace. In verse 31 of Luke 22, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. We zeroed in on that last week. I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Right now, I would like to stress, when you have turned back. Do you have a King James Bible? The King James, the old King James translates it, when you are converted. It's okay, but it doesn't quite say what this means for us in the 21st century. It basically is a word that means when you get turned, when you get straightened out, when you get this taken care of, when this is passed and you're heading in the right direction again, Peter, you know, about Satan sifting his wheat, then I have a job for you. It's not Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, and when he gets done, I'm going to toss you out like a used cartridge for a printer. That's it. Don't need it anymore. No, Peter, when this oops event happens, I'm going to get you turned around, and I have a job for you. Strengthen your brethren. That's grace. I have an acquaintance. I don't really know him all that well. I've only interacted with him two or three times. And when I did, he was out of the ministry. This man's name is Steve. He pastored a couple churches. And at the last church where he pastored, he and the deacons came to an agreement that, circumstances being such as they were, it would be best that he resign. So he did. When I met Steve, he was down. He really was. Just in saying, hello, how are you? You could feel he's down. But you know, he was down but not out. And when he got things straightened out, when he turned around, what do you think God did? He's got him in a church in Wisconsin. And I've looked it up on the web. It's things are exciting. And Steve is being used of the Lord. Did he mess up a bit? He did. Was God gracious to him? You bet. And when he got straightened out, he had work for him to do. That's grace. John 21. Oh, here in John 21, what's happening? This is after the resurrection. Peter decides, I think I'm going to go back to fishing. Remember, that's what Peter and Andrew did. They were fishermen. Peter says, I'm going back to fishing, and six others went with him. Then they see the Lord on the beach. He's making breakfast. He's cooking them fish. Look, I would never want to eat that fish, but maybe they had some bread. I just don't do fish. But they come onto the beach, and Jesus feeds them. It says in chapter 21, verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Before the night of Jesus' arrest, how many times did Jesus tell Peter he would deny him before the rooster crowed? Three times. And how many times now here on the seaside does Jesus pull out of Peter's voice box a reaffirmation of his love for Christ three times? And this time he makes Peter say it in front of six other apostles. In case any of those fellows were like, I don't know about this Peter guy, our Lord made him say out loud what he had denied just days before. I love you. He says, okay, I've got a job for you. Take care of my sheep, feed my lambs. That's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. One more, Mark 16. Yep. Impetuous Peter did have some mess ups. I'm really interested in this. The ladies had gone to prepare Jesus' body for its long-term rest in the tomb. And they run to the tomb, and it says in Mark 16, verse 4, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples, don't miss this, and Peter. Go tell his disciples, don't even think about leaving Peter out. You think these ladies knew about his denial? I think they probably did. Go tell his disciples and Peter, he's included, that Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And then one other passage along these lines. Paul's the only one who tells us about this, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15 is going to be this magnificent section on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brethren at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, he also appeared to me, to one abnormally born or born out of due time. He what? He appeared to Peter. Do you know what they talked about? Nobody knows. It's the only place this is recorded. But what I do know is Peter needed a big container of grace after the things he'd been through. And so Jesus gives him a private audience after he has risen from the dead, and he meets with Peter. That's grace. That's grace. Yeah, he said things that were way off. He did things that were certifiably stupid. He denied his Lord. But then God just pours grace out on him. That's grace. I was at the bedside of a man who was in the final hours of his life. He was not really with it. Family was there. We have no idea what he was thinking. But repeatedly, he would say, I messed up. And a daughter would say, oh, Dad, no, you haven't messed up. I messed up. You know, he might have been hallucinating. We don't know what was going on in his head. But he said that over and over again. I messed up. Then he'd turn over. I messed up. You know, the family was there, and I didn't want to come on like some professional, profound clergyman. I just listened, had prayer with them. But what I wanted to tell him was, it really doesn't matter how much you messed up. Because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is bigger than that. Because where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And this man was a believer. I knew that. So I guess I can sum the whole thing up by the words of Paul when he writes to the Corinthians in the first letter. And it applies to all of us. But what I am by the grace of God. Pray with me. Father, we know it's amazing grace. It's matchless grace. It's as the song we sang earlier, grace that is greater than all our sin. Thank you for being so merciful and kind to us. May we realize when, and they do come, those episodes come in our life where we kind of mess up. May we understand that as we're willing to get turned around, you'll be gracious. And Father, we pray for anybody here who has never really put his or her faith in Christ. Come to understand that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again. And that by putting faith in him is all that is required for everlasting life. Father, we pray that you'd move in a heart today to reach out and confess to you sin and confess to you faith in Jesus and ask for that gift that only he could give. While we have our eyes closed, if that's you, you've never done anything like this, but you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he died, that he rose for you, he did this all for you, would you in your own words silently ask God to forgive you and ask Christ to come into your heart? In your own words, silently right there. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. And we thank you for hearing the cry of anyone here who has asked for forgiveness through Christ. For we know that he said, no one who comes to me would be cast aside. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's a quote at the end of Pastor Fletcher's notes. By grace we enter, by grace we stand, not by human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. I think this is a perfect introduction to our closing hymn. Please stand up as we sing.
Oh. rejoices, though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you.
Shall we bow for this word of blessing which comes from the end of 2 Corinthians? And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.